Well, it's a great joy to be here with you this morning. I bring greetings from Zambia. And from the rest of South Africa. When I arrived on Monday, God, I was picked by Pastor Chris Nguni. And he took me to the South Africa I never knew. I don't know how many of you know that place. In Limpopo. So it's good to be here. And my name, as you've heard, I'm Chipita Sibale. I'm married. My wife's name is Chanda. And then we've got a boy, he's 3 years old. His Zambia name is Tang Tristan, he's Mizukanji. Yeah, and then I've gotten a Zulu name, Mzwandile. So that's his name. Alright, if you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 10. We'll read the first 21 verses. But my interest will be verse 11 through to verse 16. Alright, so if you are there, I commence reading from the English Standard Version. Truly, truly, I said to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was division. Verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others say, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The Gospel of John was written by John. And John's purpose of writing is given in chapter 20 and verse 31. And John in that passage says he wrote all these things to show that Jesus is the Christ, and by doing so we might believe in him.
But John
and all the accounts he brings in his gospel is to help us see that Christ is who he said he was. And in him there is eternal life. Now getting to our passage this morning. In chapter 9. He just healed a man born blind. And that brought a lot of confusion among the Pharisees and debates among themselves. So others were asking, but who is this man? And then when we get to chapter 10, John records for us Jesus saying that he is the good shepherd. And from verse 1 to verse
16,
the way the passage is divided is that from verse 1 to verse 5, you see the credentials of the good shepherd. Then verse 6 to verse 10, you see the character of the good shepherd. Then verse 11 to 16, which is my passage this morning, we see the concern of a good shepherd. And so as we deal with the concern of a good shepherd this morning, this must cause a soul searching exercise. If the good shepherd is concerned for his sheep only, ask yourself the question, am I part of that sheep? Do I know the good shepherd? Does the good shepherd know me? So let's open up verse 11 to verse
16.
The first thing we see is that the concern of a good shepherd is shown by his self-sacrificing death. Listen to verse 11 to
13.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He with the hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining here the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand. The hired hand is there just for a paycheck. The hired hand can be a faithful servant. He can be a hard-working servant, but he has no particular interest in the sheep. He's there for the money. And when trouble comes, he leaves the sheep and to be consumed by the wolves. And it is the opposite of the good shepherd. The good shepherd, on the other hand, has a vested, has a particular interest in the welfare of the sheep. And is willing to pay any price. Is willing to protect the sheep, even if it means he has to die for the sheep. And no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ has proven that he is the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ saw the danger that the sheep was in. He did everything in his power to save the sheep. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6 that we are all like wayward sheep. And because of our waywardness, because of our sin, we have been separated from the fellowship and the relationship with God. And this sin has brought us under the wrath of God because of our sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, saw the danger in which the sheep was in and did something about that situation. He came and died for the sheep. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And that which we all deserve. But Jesus Christ came down in from heaven. Was born in a human flesh. Lived a sinless life. Died on the cross for all those who put their faith and trust in him. And the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the most horrible death ever known to man. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was slapped. And he was eventually crucified. He endured all these things for his sheep. For his sheep. And yet, beyond the suffering from human hands, he suffered at the hands of God. He drank in the wrath of God. And what is happening on the cross is that Jesus is literally becoming sin for us. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 5
verse 21,
he says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And what is happening on the cross is that two things are happening at the same time. Christ is being made sin, and we are being made the righteousness of God. And the one who's suffering all these things is the only begotten Son of God. And so we see that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a calamity. It was a victorious death. He died in your place. Took up your punishment so that you might be free from your sins. And so we see that the concern of the shepherd is proven by his self-sacrificing death. But the second thing we see is that the concern of a good shepherd is shown by his relationship with his sheep. And again, this is what we see in verse 14 and
15.
Let's read those verses again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so in those verses, we are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of the bond that exists between the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying the sheep knows him, and he knows his sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, shares a life with his sheep. You have the knowledge of each sheep, and the sheep in turn, they know that they know Jesus Christ, because they know that Jesus is the reality in their lives. They have this knowledge of what Christ has done for them. They have this knowledge that Christ has forgiven them of their sins. And we see that the knowledge of the good shepherd for his sheep rests on two things: the mutual knowledge of the Father and the Son, and the sacrificial death of the Son. And this is what you see again in verse 14. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And you see, there's this chain of personal interest. There's this link of personal knowledge. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, and from there the Son knows his sheep. And this knowledge of the Father is settled on a particular people, the sheep. The sheep. And let's imagine for a while. Let's try to think of the love that exists within the Godhead. Though it is very difficult to imagine it,
with
our limited minds, but let's try and imagine from what the Bible tells us. In the beginning, God. So just to end there, we are told that in the beginning, when nothing came into existence, there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was this mutual love and knowledge among them. They didn't need anything outside themselves. God was happy within himself, having fellowship within himself. The Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father. And so the knowledge, the love that existed or exists within the Godhead, it is the love of mutual knowledge of themselves. There was never a time when the Son did not love the Father. And there was never a time when the Father did not love the Son. The Father has always been the Father to the Son. And the Son has always been a Son to the Father. And Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born of Mary. When he was born of Mary, he became the Messianic Son. But he still remained the eternal Son of God. And that's what John is able to say. In the beginning was the Word. And then he's able to say that this Word became flesh and dwelt with us. And this is what Christ is saying in verse 14 and 15. That the knowledge I have for the Father, the knowledge the Father has of me, it is from that knowledge that extends to my sheep. And Christ is saying, I know my sheep. Just as my Father knows me. And so what we see from all these things is that the Lord Jesus Christ is qualified to be the Savior of the world. And the Father approves of the Son's actions. And the knowledge that Christ has for his sheep is from the throne of heaven, the very heart of the Father. And it has the Father's support. And he said, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And we see that Christ has a relationship with his sheep. The sheep may look the same to the untrained eye, but the good shepherd can tell the difference. Christ knows its sheep by its name and its characters. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows the things that troubles your heart. He knows the battles of your life. He knows the joys and the burdens that overwhelm you. And he comes in to help you. Because he has a relationship with you. And even when times are hard, he's there for his sheep. And what a joy to know that the Good Shepherd knows me by name. Knows my inner struggles. Knows things that overwhelm me. Knows the things that causes sorrow and pain within my heart. And the Bible says he's in at the right hand of his Father, interceding for those that are his. And this must bring joy to all those who are believers. It's not like you've believed in God who's left you to yourself. You believe in a God who's concerned and who takes care of you every day. And is assuring you every day of his daily presence in your life. And he's saying to you, the knowledge I have of you is the same as the knowledge the Father has of me. There is this chain that will not be broken. The Father knows me. And I know you. And we can say even the Father knows you because of me. But the question also must be posed to those who are not believers. The fact that the Good Shepherd knows his sheep, it means he cannot be deceived. He cannot be deceived by those who are outside of his sheep pen. In the church like this, you can deceive everyone. Everyone may think you are a believer. Because you come to this church every Sunday. You sing with us those beautiful hymns. And because we can only see the outside of you, we may conclude you are a believer with all of us. But the question is this. The shepherd, does he know you? Does he have knowledge of you? Is he interceding for you? If you've not believed in him for the forgiveness of your sins, it doesn't matter how religious you may be, the shepherd doesn't know you. But you can get to know him today. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll be one of his sheep. Thirdly, the Good Shepherd proves his concern for the sheep by his universal claim, this widespread claim,
ho batla hayo ho bupara.
Listen to verse 16.
Mamela mo verse 16.
And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock. One shepherd. So we see this claim of a good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that everywhere where people live, I have my sheep. Though some of them, they may not have heard my voice, but I know where they are, and I must call them and bring them in this one fold. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the success of his mission is not dependent on what people think about him, but it depends on God's purpose in redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not threatened by people's unbelief. He knows that salvation is the work of the Father. And the Father knows where the sheep are. And he will call them. And he will bring them to himself. And there will be one sheep under one shepherd. And so what Christ is saying in verse 16, he's saying, watch out for the future rise of my sheep. Watch out how my sheep from everywhere will hear my voice and will come to me. And this morning we can even prove this verse being true. You are the fulfillment of this verse. You are gathered here this morning under one shepherd, willing and longing to hear from him. You once upon a time were out there in the wilderness, enjoying the pleasures of this world, enjoying the sins of your heart, living a rebellious life against this good shepherd. You did not want to listen to him. You enjoyed your sins. And then one day, one beautiful day, the good shepherd called you. You heard his voice. And you believed in him for the forgiveness of your sins. And here you are this morning. No one forced you to come to church. It's not even because of the pastor, but it's your response in obedience to the good shepherd. And Christ is saying, I'm calling my sheep wherever they are. And they will come. And they will listen. And they will hear my voice. Because they are my sheep. But also, this must be an encouragement to all of us. that the success of the gospel is not so much dependent on our efforts. Even though, yes, those are true and good,
it's
dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. So even when we go into our communities and to share the gospel, our prayer must be, may the sheep hear your voice, Lord. May you convict them by the Holy Spirit. And may you come in a special way and draw them out of their sins. And this must be an encouragement to us. We must not be discouraged when we go out there. Christ has the sheep everywhere. Christ has the sheep within our families. Christ has sheep within our communities. Within our workmates. And our responsibility is to share the gospel so that Christ may draw his sheep. Because we know that when people put their faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, they will be saved. And Jesus is saying, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock and one shepherd. We live at a time when many people seem to justify their unbelief. By pointing to many others who do not believe. So in their minds, they use the unbelief of others as if it's evidence to say the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is not true. But we must not be discouraged. Show them your very life. What you were. What you are now. And tell them it's because of Christ. And he can do it for you. And so we must be in the habit of preaching the gospel. Because it is as the sheep hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and come through Christ and stand in Christ, will they have access to this one fold of Christ. And it is Christ's sacrificial death that brings about life in the sheep. It's Christ alone who has paid the price for sin. There's no other way in which sinners will be reconciled to God. Outside the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question this morning is, when you look at the cross of Christ, You see, the cross as an expression of God's love. But it's also an expression of God's righteousness. If the cross of Christ only shows us the love of God, it will be of no greater effect to us. Because all we will see, it will be difficult for us to understand. Why the cross is necessary for all of us. But when you look to the cross and see God's love and see God's righteousness and you see God's holiness and you see God's justice, it helps you to realize who you are dealing with. That is not just a God of love. He's also a righteous God who demands that sin must be dealt with. Sin must be punished if God is going to remain a righteous and holy God. So this must cause each one of us to search our hearts and to ask whether we have a relationship with the shepherd. But also this shepherd, as we read in Revelation chapter 5, is also the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, and the Lord who defeats death, who punishes sin, and the Lord who saves from sin. Do you know what it means to have a relationship with a good shepherd? Do you know what it means to be under his care? Do you know what it means to have your sins forgiven? Do you know what it means to have a new life in Christ and Christ alone? And the concern that the good shepherd has is for his sheep. And if you are not his sheep, his concern is not for you. His concern is for those who are under him, under his care, under his watch. So even as we think of the concern of the good shepherd, and as we come to the end, only one question remains for you this morning. Do you know the good shepherd? Do you know the good shepherd? Does the good shepherd know you? Remember, he cannot be deceived. He knows those who are his. But he's also calling out for his sheep. He's calling that his sheep may hear his voice. And he wants to bring his sheep under one fold. Christ. He's still saving people from their sins. Christ Jesus can save you from your sins this morning. If you put your hope and trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll be saved. But remember, delay is dangerous. You do not know when your life may come to an end. You don't know when the good shepherd may return. But while you have life, while you have breath, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the shepherd will bring you in under His wings, and He will show you His concern, and He will be interceding for you before His Father's throne. But to continue in your sins is to continue under the wrath of God. And God will punish sin. He will punish your sins. Again, as I end, the question is this: do you know the shepherd? And I leave that question for you to answer. Let's pray together. Our dear God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity given to us to be found in your house. Our Father, we pray that as we've seen the concern of the Good Shepherd, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be that all of us this morning are under that one fold. May it be that all of us are sheep and not goats. Our Father, we thank you that your Son knows you and you know your Son. And your Son knows His sheep. And this knowledge is based on the mutual relationship between you and your Son. And it extends to your Son and us. Our Father, this makes us to realize that no one can deceive you, because you know your sheep by name and you've laid down your life for them. Our Father, we do realize that it is easy for individuals or for each one of us to think that we are part of your sheepfold because of our relationship to this church or any other church. It is easy to deceive our friends, our neighbors, and our pastor. It is easy, O God, to deceive our church leaders. But no one can deceive you, as you've shown us from John, that you know your sheep. And so our prayer, dear God, is that each one of us who seriously, sincerely search our hearts and ask the question, do I know the shepherd? Not just head knowledge, but in a real relational way, in a real experiential way, in a saving way. Have I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins? Do I know what it means to have my sins forgiven? Oh, God calls that each one of us will search their hearts. And our prayer is that they may come to you and believe in you for their life's sake. But also, dear God, we pray that this will be an encouragement for us to go out there and preach the gospel. That we'll not be deceived by numbers, but that we'll seek to see that our churches are filled with those who are sheep and not God. But also pray that you not discourage our brothers here at Sovereign Grace. That, O God, even though their numbers may be few, that may they be encouraged by this truth, that they have sheep and not gods. Oh God, We now pray that as we leave this place and come to the end of our time together, may you go before each one of us, and may you continue to bless this church, that it will be a beacon of life in this area, that many lives, when they hear the gospel preached, will be changed, not because of the words of the preacher, but because of the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God of heaven, descend upon this church with your blessings, and may it be a beacon of light, a church that will continue to preach the gospel for the glory of God and for the salvation of sinners. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.